had coverings in 1 Corinthians 11, timeless command, or Corinth specific. Paul spends 16 verses on hair and head coverings, then says, if anyone is contentious, we have no such practice. That closing line alone has split the church for centuries. The passage most churches quietly skip. Walk into most churches today and you won't see head coverings. Walk into some others, certain Mennonite, conservative Reformed, or Pentecostal congregations, among others, and you will. Both are reading the same 16 verses. Here's the actual text. What Paul actually writes. 1 Corinthians 11 verses 4 to 5. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman praying or prophesying with her head unveiled dishonors her head. Stated as a real practice for real gatherings where people prayed and prophesied. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 10. The woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. One of the most debated single verses in the New Testament, both what symbol of authority means and why angels are mentioned at all. 1 Corinthians 11 verses 14 to 15. Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. Paul appears to describe hair itself as a kind of covering, which is central to how this passage gets read. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 16. The passage's own closing line, if any man seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither do the assemblies of God. Paul appeals to practice, custom, rather than repeating a direct command, which different readers take in opposite directions. Where the Greek carries real weight. Greek, katakalypto. To cover, veil completely. The verb used for the covering itself in verses 6 to 7. It describes a real, visible covering, not a metaphor, whatever its required extent and permanence. Greek, exousia. Authority, right, power. The word behind symbol of authority in verse 10. Unusually, the Greek doesn't actually say symbol of authority. It says the woman should have authority itself on her head. Most translations add symbol of or a sign of to smooth the sense. What Paul means by a woman having authority on her head is one of the most argued single phrases in the letter. Greek, comb. Hair, long hair. The word for hair in verse 15, immediately followed by Paul calling it a covering, peribolaion, a wrap or mantle. This is the pivot point of the whole passage. Is Paul describing a second, separate cloth covering worn on top of long hair, or is he saying long hair itself functions as the required covering? The single hardest interpretive question in this passage is verse 15 explaining what the covering in verses 4 to 6 already is, hair itself, or is Paul making a second? Related but distinct point about hair as a natural analogy for a separate cloth head covering? Three readings the church has held. Ongoing literal practice. The instruction is a creation-based principle. Paul appeals to nature and the created order in verses 3, 8 to 9, not just local custom. So a physical head covering during corporate worship remains applicable today, not culturally bound to first century Corinth. Held today by some Mennonite, conservative Reformed, Pentecostal, and other traditions. Culturally bound to first century Corinth. Head coverings signaled a specific honor slash shame and marital status in Corinth's culture. An uncovered woman could be read as signaling something scandalous in that specific city, so the principle, visible. Appropriate distinction between men and women in worship, mutual honor, carries forward, but the specific application, cloth coverings, does not, the way other culturally dressed New Testament instructions, like the holy kiss. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 20 aren't treated as timeless commands either. Held by most contemporary evangelical and mainline churches. Hair itself is the covering. Verse 15, her hair is given to her for a covering, is read as defining the covering Paul has been discussing all along, not introducing a separate cloth requirement, meaning long hair itself fulfills what the passage calls for, and no additional cloth covering is commanded. A mediating position between the two views above. What the passage is actually arguing for, underneath the disagreement. However this resolves, notice what Paul isn't debating. He's not questioning whether women pray and prophesy in the gathered church. Verse 5 assumes they do, without objection. The disagreement is over the specific form a visible marker of distinction takes, not over women's presence or voice in worship. Examine for yourself. Read all 16 verses together, in order, not just verse 10 or verse 15 in isolation. Notice Paul's own closing move in verse 16, an appeal to what we have no such custom, neither do the assemblies of God, rather than a repeated flat command. That detail is exactly what different faithful readers weigh differently. Whatever you conclude about the covering itself, Paul frames the whole passage around honor, every man, dishonors his head, every woman, dishonors her head, not around control. That's worth carrying into how you read the rest of it.